We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
Sore Losers!
Hey, did I nail that or what?
No, you didn't. You're about half a second late. You want to try it again?
Dang it. Yeah.
All right, you ready? No, keep recording. Here we go.
Yeah.
We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
Sore Losers!
He's still late. That's all right. Yeah. What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. So I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It's Sizz, and I got a good analogy. Hold for it for just 1 second. I'm from the North. I'm an alpha male. I'm 34 years old, and I used to shotgun White Claws at the bar. I can't anymore. There's a thing called, what is it called? Oh, yeah, social distancing. So right now I'm on the west side of Nashville on Cabot Drive, and I am shotgunning White Claws with Baser.
What?
Did you say your street?
It's a long street with a ton of apartments.
Okay, gotcha.
And good
Not
luck.
Really, Coach. I think there's only two apartments on that one, actually.
And I can narrow it down by the shots of the sunset you post. I know where your balcony is.
Interesting.
And the analogy I was going to make is once you enter into a house and you've made a terrible opening, like you make a bad joke or something, it's tough to recover. So the fact that we didn't have the intro nailed down, it's going to be very difficult to make this episode good, but we're going to try.
Oh, Eddie, no, it's going to be good.
To you.
Eddie, get your hands out of your nose.
What's up? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about this. What?
Get your fingers out of your nose. I saw you.
Stop staring at me, man.
But you were picking your nose. That's how you get corona, is sticking your fingers up your nose.
No, Coach, I already have corona.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
All right. Hey, what's up? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's or the what's, and I've got corona.
And guys, he's in quarantine at his house. We did get him a more advanced telephone line. It is called an ISDN line. If you guys are into acronyms, Coach. If those kind of turn you on.
That's what gets me going. Wrong that up. Gets me hot and heavy when you start using ISDN.
NFL.
Boys, the technology of this thing is, I mean, really, I'm it's like basically a string on a can. Like, Coach, I'm connected to the internet. That's it. If this thing goes out, that's because there is no high-tech phone line coming through from my house to you.
No. It's because you're on 2K20 and you're trying to play the 12-year-olds again, getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, bro.
Hey, get out of the paint, Boys. Bro. Don't try and set a screen. Just let me do my thing. Get out of my way, bro.
Boys, you want to hear the latest?
Please. Yeah,
of course we do. I mean, we always want to hear about NBA 2K. People love it.
Come on, bro. 1v1, bro.
Have I told you about the two guys that started fighting on my team?
No.
Okay, so I'm playing 3v3, right? And these two dudes,
3 versus 3 for everybody else out there.
They start arguing with each other, saying, bro, you suck. And the other one goes, hey, bro, don't disrespect me like that, bro. You suck. No, I'm way better than you. No, you're not, bro. Look at that shot. What kind of beep takes that kind of shot? Hey, man, I'm warning you. Don't talk to me like that, bro. And I'm in the middle, guys. It's 3-on-3. These are my teammates. And I'm like, boys, I had to jump in. I go, boys, hey, everybody just chill, all right?
Is this where you jump in. You say, you think Anthony Davis talks to LeBron that way? Guys, we need each other.
Coach,
we are a
are
team.
Are you on the headset, or are these made up in your head like Jordan style? What are these dialogues coming from, Coach?
No, Coach, I'm on the headset. So I jump in, and I go, hey, whoa, hey, you got to chill, all right? hey, just chill. We're teammates, guys. No fighting, all right? 1, 2, this is a video game, guys. Everybody just relax. At one point, the guy goes, yeah, man, I'm going to find out where you live. I'm going to beat your ass. I was like, look, dude. I said, dude, let's be real. You're not going to find out where that dude lives. There's going to be no ass beating going on here.
The only ass beating is going on is these 10-year-olds are beating our ass.
Yeah, dude. And did they look it up to you? Even though you're the guy that scores no points, you're the superior to them, giving them life advice?
Yeah, Coach. So, and I'm telling the one dude, I'm like, look, man, you apologize to him. And you don't stop disrespecting.
Oh my gosh! Wait a minute! You're having them apologize to each other. You are trying to play psychological dad in the middle of the video game. They hate you,
dude. They're never gonna pick you up at the courts again. You're just gonna be playing 1v0 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you're just gonna be sitting on the sideline, guys, going, "Man, pick me, pick me."
In my mind, I thought that's what they needed to hear. They needed somebody with a more, experienced attitude of their just knowing a little, have a better grip in life to tell them what they need to be doing. So do you know what they responded with?
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
No.
F you, dude. Why don't you get some kids and that you can boss around? We're not your kids, bro.
I bet you they said, bro, you know what? You're right. We're going to come kick your ass.
Hey, bro. Yeah, I'm not going to go to his house. I'm coming to your house.
We're
going to
meet at your house and we're going to beat your ass on the front lawn.
No.
What did they do?
They said, bro, beep you. Who do you think you're using? Our dad or something? Beep you, you mother beeper. You suck too. Okay. All right, guys. All right.
Yeah, that's what you're dealing with when people don't see each other face to face. All of a sudden, people talk like they're bigger than they are.
So did you win?
No, we lost. Coach, it was terrible. These guys just fought the whole time.
That's the problem.
Guys, speaking of, did you guys hear what Mike Tyson said? Man, probably one of the smartest quotes I've ever heard.
What did he say?
I'm sure it was real.
Yeah, Mike Tyson. Let me tell you, what I associate with the smartest quotes ever, Einstein, Stephen Hawking, things like that, Bill Gates. Never really thought Mike Tyson, but go for it.
Yeah, hit us with it, dude.
Hold on.
Confucius, Plato, Socrates.
Some of the greatest quotes of our time. Eddie's going to hit us with a Mike Tyson.
No, he said it was one of the greatest quotes he's ever heard.
Sometimes I think Eddie just says those things
read it verbatim
as fillers because he doesn't fully have his bit prepared. So he's like, oh, what was the exact quote? Was it even that good?
Yeah,
guys,
now he's searching for it, and he's going to read us some Einstein quote and say Mike Tyson said it.
Coach, of all the sports that are on right now, you're going with a boxing quote? I mean, we've got everything is rocking and rolling, dude.
You got the bubble.
I mean, gosh. I can't find the exact quote.
Oh, my God. Man.
I'm going to kind of translate it.
What did it say? What was it about?
He said, social media has somehow found a way for all of us to say whatever you want without getting your face punched in.
Okay.
It's so true.
Why could you not have said that 10 minutes ago?
I mean, here are the Mike Tyson quotes. When I type in Mike Tyson quotes, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Wow, that is deep.
That kind of goes along the same lines.
I'm a dreamer. I have a dream and reach for the stars. If I miss the star, then I grab a handful of clouds.
And if I don't get a cloud, I punch you in the fucking face. I mean, do all his quotes involve punching? We get it, dude. You're a boxer.
I love to hit people.
That's all he does.
I love to. I'm going to eat your children.
Okay. That was the most famous quote of all time. There it was. Guys, as much as I love to talk boxing, let's talk life. Eddie, now, over to you.
No. Ray. Ray, we talked about it on the big show earlier this week about how you found a surrogate. So you're going to be a dad eventually, right?
Yes, coach. What, on the big show, coach.
What kind of dad do you think you're going to be?
Look, hold on. Can we stop this for a second? I just want to say, and Lunch, I don't know why you're never on my team with this. Look, you have two kids. I have four kids. Look. It pisses me off a little bit when Ray brings to the table that one, he's already a dad because he's got 23 frozen eggs.
Yes, yep.
Two, he's about to be a dad.
Factual.
Three, I can't. None of it's factual. Coach, me and Lunchbox, we're already at war. You're the dude still at ROTC being like, hey.
No, he's at junior ROTC. ROTC.
I'm the guy at high school that goes up to the table, the ROTC table, and it's like, I don't know if it's for me or not.
Lunchbox and I, we've already served, and we're at the high school gym trying to get you, and you're trying to tell us, yeah, about Army and everything. We're like, fool, we've been there.
All right,
yeah,
Vietnam.
You're like my roommate in college. Well, my roommate in college, he signed up for the Marines, and he did the officer candidate school, so he went to boot camp during the summers, and then when he graduated from college, he was an officer in the Marines. Well, just to stay in shape during the school year, he signed up for the ROTC at UTSA. Right? And he would come home and complain about how weak they were and how they didn't do enough. Like, we only marched 2 miles. I want to watch March 4. Like, this ROTC is just a bunch of crap. They're a bunch of sissies, and we need to be doing more. No wonder. I'm like, dude, then why did you sign up? Because I need to stay in shape. Well, if you want to go march 4 miles, go march 4 miles on your own. You don't need to come here and bash these people. They signed up for ROTC, and that's what the instructor told them to do. And he's like, yeah, well, I think we should be doing 100 push-ups instead of 20. Okay, man.
The thing that offended me was, and I don't even know if this is something to stand on, but just let me do it. It's a podcast. We come and we get on our potato baskets, okay? Let me say this. When I was in high school, the ROTCs got acknowledged, and they had these assemblies where they were recognized. But as a wrestler, our practices were more intense than the ROTCs. But it just seemed like the ROTCs were getting a little bit more fame at my school because they were a ROTC. And it, as a wrestler, I was like, man, we were bottom on the total pole. It went like football, guys basketball, girls basketball. There was no baseball. And then you got track, volleyball, all that. And then wrestling was at the very bottom.
You didn't have baseball at your school?
No. So I had to drive 30 minutes to another school.
That is very interesting.
I know.
I didn't have ROTC, I don't think, at my school.
Dude,
I don't think I had ROTC.
Coach, ROTC was so huge. And we were always just like, our practices are harder. Can we not get a standing ovation at an assembly instead of the ROTCs? What about the wrestlers? But that's just my bone. Okay.
Well I'll tell you the bone.
ROTC. Do you mean
ROTC?
Do you mean Yahtzee?
I got.
Hey, right here, you roll the dice, shake it up. Yahtzee! That's like the band people back in the day. They used to complain that they practice just as hard as the football players. And I'm like, oh my God, just stop. Like,
well, the band people would try to prove it. Dude, the band, I'm sorry, Eddie, the band people in my school would try to prove how tough they were equal to the football. So the football players were practicing. Like, varsity team was practicing on one field. Band would do it adjacent. And their practices, I swear to God, were the exact same time, exact same length, because the band instructor wanted to prove that they go through the same stuff as the football players and same heat and stuff like that. I'm like, guys, your band, you can sit in a room and play your instruments, right? You don't need to be on an actual turf the week of the game.
Well, you got
to
have marching formations for the big game.
It makes no sense,
still,
bro.
Marching for an hour is not the same thing, bro, as knocking each other's heads off. Like, let's just be real.
If we start saying bro because of Eddie's stupid 2K20 conversations on the headset, dude, I'm going to punch myself in the face.
Now, Eddie, I just don't get offended by that because Ray is going to be a dad. Like, I do believe he's going to, like, crap doesn't offend me. I can't believe you let that get under your skin. Yes, we're already parents. So, yeah, Ray's going to find out. But I just know that we talked about him. He found a surrogate. So the wheels are in motion to where he's going to be a dad. Like, he's going to have a physical child that cries and poops and pees. And I just want to know, what kind of father do you think Ray is going to be?
Oh, I got it. This is a no-brainer. Ray is going to be the overly protective, always worried 100% of the time about his child.
Hey, so my thing 100%. With Hey, how I'm always worried about the parking meter feeding it, that's how I'm going to be with the kid.
Oh, my goodness.
Ray is going to try to act like
the back of the bottle.
Yes.
He's going to be reading the back of the bottle, being like, I don't know. This milk expired yesterday. We're throwing it all away.
He is going to read. Wait. The daily intake says you're only supposed to get 6 grams. This has 7 grams. Can't have that. Sorry. No. He is going to be the most paranoid parent ever. He tries to act like he is Mr. Laid Back and cool and doesn't give a crap about anything when he's really the most uptight, wound person that I know. Like, he tries to act like, I just chill and I drink White Claws. But really, he is on edge 99% of the day.
Well, I will say, the White Claws, like, honestly, a Friday will hit and I'll be like, I'll still be just like, all right, let's go work out. I'll still be kind of on edge for no reason whatsoever. That's the point of alcohol. It takes you off of the edge.
Yes, but when you have the kids, you're not going to be able to drink the alcohol to take the edge off, because then you're going to forget about the kids.
So that's the thing. With drinking and with kids, there's so many bad.
And that's a problem if you need alcohol to take the edge off, is what Eddie's going to say.
Yeah, yes.
Coach, what are you on the headset?
That's a definition of an alcoholic. If you need alcohol to just live your life and not be on edge, coach, this is a problem.
Hey, hey, it's one of those dudes, dads or whatever, that says, oh, no, 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 I'm not an alcoholic. I just have a couple to take the edge off when I come home from work. Okay, that probably, that sounds actually like you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, I just need one before I go to work to make me, you know, more functional at work.
It's not funny. I mean, we're laughing, but I mean, people do that.
No, no, that's like, the truth. That's the truth. Like, I mean, no, like, I just have one in the parking lot before my son's game because it takes the stress of him playing, left field. Oh. Like, I mean, no.
No, I had a chick that I dated in Austin, and she was a teacher, and she said she'd get so stressed from her students the second, so they get out at 3:30, and she said it was always before 4 p.m. The second she got home, she would have a glass of wine, and then she's like, sometimes that would lead to one, two, and sometimes it was the bottle. But she said every day of the school week, she had a glass of wine, and I go, well, do you think you're an alcoholic? And she goes, no, no, that's just what chills me out after dealing with the kids. And then later I realized she's actually an alcoholic.
I mean, there were a few times that in Austin that we'd get done with the radio show, and it was so stressful. And I know this sounds stupid.
I'd get on so many debates and too many bonehead stories that it would stress the hell out of me.
It was so stressful. I would go and have margaritas at 10 a.m.
Oh, God.
We had a friend that goes
for the coach.
Trudy's. Trudy's right there. It was by on, you know, where the Toys R Us was at, whatever the
cat. Yeah, Ben White. White and
yep. That's where we go.
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, 10 a.m.
I'll take your bacon and eggs and also your margarita. Thank you.
My brother was telling me, you know, a while back, he's like, man, I met a really cool guy. We're good friends. He's a dad. I really look up to him, man. Like, you know, he's got like three kids, and I was like, oh, where'd you guys meet or whatever? He's like, at the bar. He comes to the bar every day after work. I was like, what?
Coach, he's got three kids.
Like, he's like, he goes, no. He's cool. He just shows up, drinks a couple beers, you know, and hangs out. Every day after work, yeah. He's really good at managing his time.
He knows he has an hour that he gets to have some beers, and then he has to go home and put the kids to bed. I mean, I really admire the way he is so good with time management. His skills are out of the world.
Coach,
I was like, dude, if he's having to go make a little pit stop at the bar before going home, he's dealing with something.
Dude, I love that your bro goes, he's a great guy. He has two kids. Oh, that's awesome. That's a good guy to look up to. Yeah, I mean, he also, you know, every day I'll do the bar thing, couple beers, nothing like that. But what about that hour that he should probably be with his kids learning about their lives for the day?
The reason I asked you guys, I wanted to know what, Eddie, how do you see yourself as a dad? What kind of dad are you? Like, are you the cool dad? Are you
No. No, I think there's definitely a cool side to me, but I'm definitely a strict dad.
I wouldn't
have
see
a lot
that.
Of rules
coach,
in the house.
Coach, I would not see you being. I get you can just say this stuff. Oh, I'm worried about their social media. Yeah, that's just you saying it. But in the actual house, I don't see you being an authoritarian. I see the kids kind of running rampant, honestly.
So coach, you're onto something. For the most part, the boys, they get to, you know, live. I mean, I got four boys. They get to live their boy life at home, you know?
That's awesome.
Like, my wife kind of just lets them do whatever they want. She has this theory of like, look, make a mess, but you're going to have to clean it up later. Like, and I'm like, that is the worst theory I've ever heard of in my life. Like, let's pick up as we make the mess. You know what I mean? So I've got to step in at some point, boys, and I've got to be like, hey, whoa, we're not. But mom said, no, mom's doesn't know what you're talking about. Dad's
but
about
she
to tell
wears
you how to
the
live
pants,
life.
Dad, and she said,
yeah,
make
you're not
a mess.
The decision maker, man.
Because if you let these dudes, they will run over my wife. Like, she can't stop them from doing certain things. So I don't know if it's my voice or what, but when I raise my voice and show that I'm upset about something, they stop what they're doing and be like, all right, he's serious. Let's start cleaning up.
Okay. Because you really do. I've learned that with my nephew. When he comes and visits, he'll be here for a week. And what I've learned is, yeah, so it's always joke around, you know, jack around session until you raise your voice. And you don't even really know you're about to raise your voice. And you just do it. And then he knows, oh, crap. Okay, he's serious. And you almost have to do that, or they really do just think you're always kidding around at having a good time, and it's an easy way for
exactly,
them just to
coach.
Immediately obey you is when you raise your voice, and you really do it naturally. If you are a parent who goes, oh no, I never raised my voice at my kids, okay, get the hell out.
Yeah, you're full
like,
of crap.
It
like,
happens
you're an
so
idiot.
Naturally
you're done, you're
my
done.
Nephew's here for one day, and after 2 seconds I'm like, get the hell out of here. I mean, not even knowing that I'm about to do that.
those are the kids that grow up talking back to everyone in their life. Like, no, nah, you're stupid. Like, it's like, whoa, dude, you're like 40 years old, you know, and you're telling your boss that he's stupid. That's because your dad or your mom didn't tell you what to do.
Right. And so they were able to call their shots early at a young age.
Hey, coach, your question is great to Ray. I think it's good. And I want to add to it. I want to add, is Ray going to continue with his drinking lifestyle as a dad? Because I kind of did at the beginning of being a dad.
It's hard to. It really is hard to, because what your drinking lifestyle, the kids wake up at the same time no matter what. It doesn't matter if you stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning having those 8 or 9, 10 White Claws. They're still going to wake up at 7 a.m. They don't give a damn about your drinking. So in the beginning, you think you can pull it off, but it gets harder and harder, and you realize, okay, you know what? I can't do this.
Well, when I learned Baby Boggs didn't give a damn that Dad had a tequila night for UFC fights, that's when I learned.
No, for real. That's the honest truth. I had tequila night.
Hey, sweetie, I just learned Baby Boggs didn't care about tequila night. He had the same awake time today. Can you believe he was that disrespectful? Didn't respect my tequila night?
Dude, he didn't respect it at all. Hit the tequila night, then hit the bars, home at 2:30, 2:45, and he was up at 7, didn't care. And I was like, really? I just laid down, it felt like, and he was ready to go. And I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, so I mean, you can get the reason people drink, honestly, it always is a college thing. You have so much time for the first time in your life in college. So you start to do the drinking thing. It helps you be more social. And then once you kind of move on from that, if you continue it at that much of a rate, then yes, you're an alcoholic. But if you do one time a week, you get drunk, who cares? That you're a fine person. But yes, once you have kids, I bet it is very difficult to have a hangover and deal with kids that next day. So then you do it in moderation. You can have a cocktail at 5 p.m. and feel just fine. And I imagine that's what I'll evolve into. But right now, it's one time a week. Get ham boned, baby. But yes, kids, then it's cocktail hour, night, if you want my honest opinion. Thank you.
Good. Because I look at myself and I ask myself, what type of parent am I? And I'm not to the stage of...
I want to know me as a parent. Eddie, what am... I want to know my legacy.
No. I'm saying that I am not at the point of Eddie where they're old enough to really get angry. Like, a 2-year-old doesn't really do much that makes you that angry.
What? I thought it was the terrible twos.
Well, I mean, he just turned 2 like 2 weeks ago, so it's not really like I'm not there yet.
But your balls deep in it.
He does a couple things and you get frustrated, but it's not like he's, you know, throwing baseballs across the house and you have to yell at him.
Why not? You don't got an athlete?
Well, I'm saying, like, Eddie, you know,
coach,
what I mean?
With my 1-year-old's already doing that.
The one thing he does do is he climbs up on the chair and he starts hitting the TV.
UFC.
And I've got to stop that. I've got him to get him to stop that. That's the one that drives me. I get a little upset. But I ask you these questions because we got an email. wearethesorelosers@gmail.com. And it's from a mother. I love this podcast. You three crack me up and brighten my day. I have a parenting question and would like to get your input. Back in my college days, I loved playing beer pong, and I have to admit it, I was pretty dang good. Now that I'm older, I don't really party anymore, but still want to get my beer pong fix. Is it bad parenting move to teach my kids, ages 7 to 19, to play beer pong with me? No alcohol would be involved. I could even change the name to cup pong, LOL. I personally don't see a problem with it, but my husband is not fond of the idea. Please let me know your thoughts, and thanks for the help, Rachel.
Oh, God.
So, when I read this email, I look at the 19-year-old, and I assume the 19-year-old's already playing...
He's a hot, attractive female.
...is already playing beer pong because they're college age. When you are college age, you're going to be parties, and beer pong is going to be a thing. So, playing with your 19-year-old, I don't think it's a big deal, and you don't have to put beer in it. The 7-year-old doesn't know it's beer pong, so it's just a game of throwing a ping pong ball in a cup of water. It's fine. There is nothing wrong with playing, what did she call the, change the name to? Cup pong with your kids.
Yeah, me real quick, and then Eddie, you can go. Cup pong is so freaking fun. Me and Bae still play it on the weekends because it is more of it. For us, it's a drinking game, but it can be a non-alcoholic fun event for the family. I get it as the negative connotation of being college, drunk, binge drinking. You can. Are they going to talk about it at school? Probably. Is maybe a teacher going to call you? Probably. But if you're not, if they're not drinking, you're playing with water. There's nothing wrong with it. If they love it, have fun as a family. Boom. There you go. Maybe you just do it for a month and say, maybe that was crossing the line, and then you stop. But just try. Let the kids see it, because I guarantee it's a cross generational game that is going to be popular for years to come.
Also, you want your 19-year-old to be going to these college parties and dominate. You don't want your kid getting skunked when they show up to the beer pong table and they're the ones getting drunk. You want them getting everybody else drunk because of their skills. And if they start at the age of 7, they could win world titles by the time they're older.
And I believe the college kids, there's been times I've played it where it turns into strip pong. So you want the kids to
you
be...
You and Billy played strip pong? In South Beach?
In South Beach?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Wow.
The things you reveal to us, Ray, it's so weird. So, Eddie, what are your thoughts?
College years are crazy, huh?
Yeah, man. Hey, we got wild down there at Texas State and San Marcos. We, me, Billy, and South Beach, we were the king of strip pong in our apartment.
Oh, boy.
Coach, hit us with it.
Coach, I think cup pong is genius, or whatever she wants to call it. Hey, look, a lot of drinking games are fun. They don't have to be about drinking. I've already taught my kids how to do quarters in the shot glass. They love it.
Yeah, and you don't have to. And so the game, you don't have to chug the water. Every cup that you know, you put it on the back patio, and every cup you land the water in, you got to pour the cup of water on your head. I mean, it's just
there. You go.
You turn it into a family game, and it's absolutely great.
That you just actually created an awesome idea randomly, which was shocking. We should actually patent that before we put out this podcast. Wow, that was a good idea.
I don't think you can patent pouring water over your head.
Well, who knows? They patent everything else nowadays.
There's no patent on beer pong.
Well. Then
it's just a game.
We got us a legal battle, because that was a hell of an idea, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. Boom. It's simple. I think your husband is being a little bit uptight.
Yeah, I mean, does he hang out with Eddie? Mm-hmm. Do they go to the same YMCA or what? Because he sounds a lot
like
Eddie.
Coach, I just told you that I'm cool. I do drinking games with my kids already, Coach. We don't drink, but I mean, you know what? I feel like I missed out big time on the dad experience. That my dad used to do this all the time. Hey, go get me a beer. With my foster kids, I can't drink around them. So I don't have the luxury of like, hey, somebody go get me a beer. Open it. My parents, they taught me how to make mixed drinks. Can you imagine me trying to teach my kids to make me a mixed drink?
Coach, your parents would instruct you, hey, so I like it a little bit, soda water, and then you put the vodka, ice, so that you could make their drinks for them. Right?
Yes.
That is
they would
awesome.
Go, all right. Go get a glass, fill it up with ice, and then they would do their little finger, and you know, like, this is how much of the bottle you put in there, and put the rest soda water, stir it up, and we're good.
See, because I guess parents can have their kids do whatever they want for it. You make them mow the yard, make them do this. My dad loved to have his hair combed. So for every
what the hell. What? Ray.
This is what I'm telling you.
This is okay.
Ray being a dad is going to be so weird.
Ray, okay. This Ray. I mean, I don't know how long ago was talked about taking showers with his dad and just staring at his butt crack the whole time. Then he tells us that him and South Beach and Billy played strip beer pong in their apartment with each other. And then now we find out that Ray combed his dad's hair. All right, go on.
What I was saying is...
Please describe.
Hey, Eddie...
Whoa. Ray, the part's a little wrong. Spanking for you.
Eddie would make the drinks. That was the labor that his parents made him do.
A little more normal.
Okay, for us, my dad loved to have his hair combed. So we would do it for free. For years. And then my mom said, you should make your dad pay you. So then we started charging my dad. And And once we started charging him money, then he didn't want us to comb his hair anymore. But and it was also where the, across town, which was my mom in the same house.
Hey, Ray, you're grounded. You got to comb my hair for 1 hour straight.
No, my mom would have us, she would get some migraines a little bit. And so she'd say, "Will you massage my head? I'll pay you $5. And then so then we'd be like, "Dad, we're not going to comb your hair. Mom just paid us $5 for massaging her head." So that's the thing. My dad loved to have his hair combed. So there, you can train.
How would you comb it?
It would part to the side, and then you would have a little spray bottle. So you would spray it.
Yeah, but okay,
you'd
get it wet first.
You'd get it wet, and then you're combing it back, and then you'd comb it to the side. And it was a whole thing until 20 minutes happened, and you're like, "Dad, can I please be done?"
20 minutes? 20 minutes? Your dad doesn't have that much hair. How are you combing it for 20 minutes?
You got the spray. It's a process, Coach. You comb the bottom, the sides, the tops. You spike it. You comb it over to the other side. Coach, it was a process, and that's what I'm saying. My dad enjoyed that. So you can train your kids to do whatever you want them to do.
Yeah, obviously.
So is what we've learned here.
So, Coach Ray, would your dad mess up his hair after you were done so your twin could comb it next?
No, I mean, he would then be on shift the next Sunday or whatever. So then, you know, then you'd have to comb it. But, but I mean, boys, I haven't.
This is bizarre, dude.
I haven't thought about that in a while. Think about
you this. Understand, and I'm not talking badly about Ray's dad. You know, it's whatever. But. Your son is going to be like your son's going to be like you as a dad, you know? So you see Ray, I mean, it's gotta be what his dad was like. Like Ray's going to have his kids comb his hair for him now.
No, I'm not.
And then he's going to shower naked with him.
I think everybody has an idea of what kind of parent they're going to be until they're actually a parent. And then everything goes out the window and you're like, "Oh, wow, that is not." I mean, I can already tell the kids are going to stress me the crap. I'm probably going to be a terrible. I'm going to be angry. They're always going to put me in a bad mood. Going into it, I think, "Oh, I will have every conversation my kid wants to have. I will not close down. We're going to have an open door policy." Yeah, right, dude. After they annoy the crap out of me, I'm closing the door and tell them they can never come in the door unless they knock 10 times.
No, unless they comb your hair.
When I think about parenthood, I just think of how mad the kids are going to make me. That's really all I think about.
Man, that is. I've never combed my dad's hair.
That's rough.
All right.
Yeah. Guys, we need to go.
You showered naked with your dad?
I mean, maybe when I was little, but I don't remember it. Like, did you ever shower naked with your kids?
No, never.
Never?
Never, Coach. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I don't even think they've seen me. I haven't asked them, but I don't think they've ever seen me naked.
Coach. See, because I do, like, I'm trying to teach my 2-year-old how to take a shower. You know, like, he takes a bath, but... And so I've taken a couple showers where I take him upstairs and we go in the shower and I show him soap and, you know,
that just seems like the easiest way. The wife doesn't always want to bathe him. Like, throw him in the shower, Edward.
Like, there's not, like...
Yeah, Coach. Guys, you put your child in the shower and then you tell them what to do. You demonstrate or whatever, but you don't have to be naked in there with them.
It just seems easier. You're going to get wet as hell. Lunch, tell him.
Yes, please. You're getting soaking wet. And the kid is 2. He's a little bit scared of the faucet when it's coming out.
"Oh, it's a monster, Daddy."
And he doesn't want us to, so you have
he's
to.
He's not scared. Coach, he's not scared of the faucet. He's scared of the elephant.
Dad, an elephant jumped. Dad.
No, usually I'm holding him because he won't get up close to the water.
Daddy,
like, he just stands back there and he's a little scared.
"Daddy, it's a snake, a serpent, Dad."
And so.
"It only had the one eye, Dad."
This is why you guys are idiots.
"It's got some rocks under it, too." "In his belly. The snake's full, Dad."
The snake ate a couple of bowling balls.
So, yes, I think it's normal when they're that young to try to teach them how to. Once he starts remembering things at 2 years old, he doesn't remember. I mean, he doesn't know what anything is. He doesn't know what's going on. So you're trying to help him. So, yes, I've taken him in the shower. It's not a big deal.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Lunch, this number. You want me to call it right now, or what do you want to do?
Hold on. Well, I don't know what the heck we were talking about.
Oh, it had to deal with a segment.
We're talking about you showering with your two-year-old.
I was trying to do a good segue, and I'm not a radio host, so it's
guys,
tough.
Guys, so we wondered about how strip clubs are going to operate during this time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we need to head to Houston because Vivid Gentlemen's Club now has a drive-thru.
Okay, boys.
They have put a tent up in the parking lot.
Road trip.
And you roll through the tent, and you're allowed to watch girls dance for two songs. You throw the money out the window, and you drive off.
Eddie, our vacation, are you going anywhere or no? You're laying low.
Coach, the last vacation I went somewhere, I got corona. I think I'm going to stay at the house for a little bit.
Because I was going to say, if you were rolling near Houston, the Texas Panhandle, baby. What if you accidentally took a little turn into
this
bad boy?
It's not by the Panhandle, Coach.
Or wherever it is. Coach, it's a big state. My bad, I don't know all the little local colloquialisms.
Yes, but Ray, I sent you the number because I want to call them, and I want to know how this works. I just saw the news story, and I found it hilarious. Houston is now home to Texas's first drive-through strip club. I want to know, like,
what are you gonna ask? Coach, you know what you need to do? You need to call like it's a drive-through and be like, "All right, I'll take the diamond with the blue bikini."
Well, I want to ask them: do they get on your hood?
There, like, you go. Those are normal,
like,
questions.
I want to know how this works.
Everybody probably wants to know.
Did I select it right?
All right, it should be coming up.
All right, it should be ringing.
Oh, dang it!
Oh, you didn't do it right.
Coach, ask if you can get some of that all-you-can-eat lobster, too.
It's all buns and no burger at this drive-thru. I mean, it doesn't even... If they're not dancing, like, if you can't get that close to them, is there really any point?
Coach, some people... I mean, it's one of the vices. Nudity, porn. Do you have to have a woman grinding on you? No, it's just the act of seeing... What the crap is up with that stupid phone? Why won't it work?
Coach, there's a lot of people that want to go through the drive-thru. They have a lot of questions.
Maybe that's their number, Coach.
Well, I gave you their number.
I know, but maybe that's...
I'll try to call it on my cell phone.
I just want to see... I'll call right now on mine. I just want to see if it was that same... What the crap?
It works.
All right. Coach, another good question, too, is you know, do they charge by the car load?
Is there an admission? Like, is there cover charge? That's a great question, Eddie, because when you go, sometimes they do have a cover charge.
And then sometimes, Coach, drinking and strip bars, all that go hand in hand. So is it okay if you drink and drive, even if you're just going in circles?
Customers can order booze. Oh, my, this is crazy. Is it working?
That is crazy. I was just joking. That's crazy if they're going to just be giving them beers and they take off in their car.
And, okay, so you throw the money at them, right? If it's a windy day and it blows out of the tent, like, what happens? The girl's got to jump down and go get it?
It's gone. Money's gone. The Wendy's next door is going to get it.
Is it working, Ray?
No, you do 9-1 and then the number, right?
Yeah.
That's what I did. I've done it like 10 times. It's the same thing.
Sometimes some numbers block us because we have a spam.
Oh, it's
area
spam
code
number.
713.
Just do it on your cell phone.
I'll do it on my cell phone.
All right, there you go. Good call, Steve.
I doubt they block, but, I mean, they're a strip club.
Coach, they have all these regulations. How do you think they've stayed afloat? Hey, they got this new policy where people can drive through and get a stripper. I would hope they block random numbers like us.
Hey, Ray, he's going to call him on his cell phone. They're going to be like, oh, hey, Lunchbox, what's up, man?
No, dude, they're going to call him back when he's with his wife.
Sweetie, they have the car's ready.
Hello?
For oil.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm just trying to call.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to get some information. I saw that you guys have the drive-thru going on. How does that work?
We are actually open on the inside as well, just to let you know. The drive-thru is from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., weather permitting. But as far as I know, basically the process is if you would like to purchase food, you would go into the line, you'd place your order, and while you're waiting, you would be on the inside. Of the tent, and then the girls are lined up on the side, and you would have a limited
They're messing off. With us.
Well, okay, now, the girls on the outside, do they still take off the tops and everything, or is it, is it the full experience?
No, sir.
Okay.
How about on the inside?
Yeah, but the inside is good to go.
Yes, sir, everything basically the same. We're just open on the inside, technically, as a restaurant with entertainment.
Do you have a cocktail waitress that brings alcohol to the car while we watch the two songs? How does that work?
Yes, that's fine.
And do the girls dance like on the car? Is it like do they get on the hood?
They're behind.
If we want to make it rain,
I want to make it rain. Like a platform, basically.
Okay, and so if we
find a little gate on a platform.
If we want to make it rain, we just do it out the car window?
On the windshield?
You could do that, or they have buckets on the side.
Oh, because, you know, I was hoping, like, if they would get on the windshield, we'd make it rain onto the windshield.
Can we make the windshield wipers squirt fluid?
I have a customer at the moment. Is there any way you could hold?
Yeah, we'll hold.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, I have somebody that's actually going to spend money.
Hey, you guys got other questions?
And
you got
a stupid-ass radio bit.
Hey, you guys got other questions?
Hey, for sure. Hey, for sure she's making, she's joking with us about the inside stuff, right? She's saying that on purpose.
Coach, I think she just has to answer honestly because
do you guys have other questions?
Yes. Ask him if you turn on the windshield wipers, if it squirts the girls if you get fined, or is it fine to do that?
Oh, yeah, and then I got to ask him about the cover charge.
Like, you know, do a wet t-shirt. Say, hey, if you got a girl dancing on the hood, can you turn on your windshield
wiper? She said they don't dance on the hood. She said there's a barricade.
Tell them if you want to do wet t-shirt, what if your windshield wiper fluid shoots on the girls? Is that okay?
Okay.
Hey, ask her if raspberry still works there.
Okay. Ask her.
See, I think I had a baby with her.
Thank you so much for holding. How can I help you?
So, ma'am, if we're going through the drive-thru, can we, like, squirt our windshield wiper fluid at the girls and, like, get a wet t-shirt kind of thing?
No.
No. And is to go through the tent, is there a cover charge?
No, sir, not unless you're just wanting to go into, like, the tent just for the show. It's $20 and you get two songs.
And is it $20 a carload or $20 a person?
A carload. It could be four people.
Okay, so I can bring me and three of my boys and we can, you know, hang out the window and watch two songs.
Your wife.
Yes.
What about your wife and kids?
How much to get one of the girls?
Now, can I bring the kids in the car or is that like is that illegal?
We check IDs.
Okay. I mean, they're in car seats, so I was hoping they would fall asleep and I could enjoy the scenery. You know what I'm saying?
She hung up. Dang it. We didn't get to ask if raspberry still
working. I mean, guys, it's real. Coach. It's $20 to go through the tent for two songs.
Great. Great find,
Coach. I still don't understand how it works.
Are you sure it's only in Houston and not in Memphis? That'd be awesome.
I mean, it might be, but it's the first one in Texas, and I saw the article.
Boys, we about to have bachelor trip round two, if that's the case. Holy
there
crap.
There is no way your girl will let you drive to Memphis to go through a drive-thru.
Whoa. What's wrong with going through a drive-thru?
Yeah, Eddie, you're there to pick up food. She said you can order food. Hey, you go in the tent.
I'm gonna go to a drive-thru with Eddie, lunch, a couple other guys.
No. Only limit four. Limit four.
But you're like, how many dudes? I mean, four pervs are in the car watching these. In her head, she's like, okay, so you're going to load up you and your pervy buddies and try and get a deal. Okay,
hey, then I said, the kids will be asleep in the car seat.
Dude, the kid question was great. I want the kids to experience it.
How do you find this news? Like, I look at news every day. No crap pops up on my news.
I mean, he might have been on a little bit of a smut site, but just let him do what he does.
I'm on a strip club newsletter.
I thought it was interesting. I thought that's an interesting thing.
I've got to give her props because out of the 15 questions we bombarded her with, I would have answered, I don't know, two and then hung up on you, but she fielded a bunch of them before the hang up. That's very impressive.
No, the fact that she put me on hold and even came back. I thought she was going to put me on hold and we were never going to hear from her
again. That's the way to tell somebody to F off. I'm going to put you on hold and then just never get back to them.
Yeah, like, I got to call another line. Hold on 1 second. And then you just never come back. But no, this woman took her job so serious that she came back and wanted to answer more questions.
Dude, I don't even know. Like, if somebody asked me that many questions about my own building, I don't know if I'd know that. She knew the inside, the outside, the tents, the stages, the car number, the prices, the buffets. Damn. Wow.
The whole question about the windshield thing, that's genius. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a meeting today about it. Like, if somebody called in, had an idea about maybe using the windshield wiper fluid as like a wet thing, like that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Coach, I mean, it wasn't genius. It was just a guy question that came to my head, Coach.
Well, I didn't even think about the liquid being able to squirt the girl. You know what I mean? I was thinking she would have to be on the windshield, but you're right.
What you would do is you would do it, you know, like whenever you go to the McDonald's drive-thru and you like put your
you can get the person behind you or whatever.
It throws water on them. It throws water on the person because the windshield wiper's going back and forth.
Dude, can you turn your high beams
that
on?
That would be hilarious. Dude, you
excuse me, I think we got disconnected.
We should have got the car out. Is it okay if I put my car in four-wheel drive?
But, I mean, what's crazy, it's $20 and they don't even take off any of their clothes. If you're just going through for two songs, you got to pay $20 to see them dance in bikinis. Like,
I bet it's less than bikinis.
You think they got a nip slip?
Yeah, I mean, you're not.
Coach, they said that you can still go out in a tent or something, or like there's a tent with a stage in it. I don't know if you could see that from the car. I wasn't quite understanding exactly.
What if somebody accidentally opens the door?
The tent has the stages underneath, and there's a barricade you drive through.
Hey,
under these tents, and so there's girls on the stages as you're like they are 5-6 feet from you.
I'm telling you right now, dude. I guarantee if one of your boys is being funny or a little drunk in the back seat, if he opens his door, I bet a bouncer is on it in 2 seconds.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Doorway, for sure. And he beats
with a knife to pop your tires. Like, easy.
Oh man, weather permitting though. So if it's bad weather, they're not out there.
Right.
Oh man, that's good.
Dang, coach.
Man, that's awesome.
Hey, are we doing the Miami Marlins?
No.
Okay.
We did that last week, but we can play it again if you want.
Yeah. I mean, it was so funny. I mean,
if you want to play it again, this is us calling last week. No.
All right.
This is us calling last week. We played it last Wednesday, I think, but if you missed that podcast, here's us calling saying, hey, we're trying out for the Marlins because all them people had Corona. Hit it.
Thank you for calling the Miami Marlins.
Good afternoon, Miami Marlins. How may I direct your call?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just calling to see if you need some players. I'm ready to try out.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, Marlins.
We're getting our number of clients if we need to.
Yes, ma'am. Jason Gibble, ma'am. Business man making business deals trying to get that money. And let me tell you, I was a heck of a right fielder back when I was 12 years old. I played for the Minnesota Twins of Balcony's Little League, and I even made Balcony's Red All-Stars.
And I am happy to admit I'm a man, but I am a catcher. Yeah.
All right, we'll have a great one, okay?
No, ma'am, we are ready. We are ready to fill. Put me in, coach.
Y'all got COVID players. You need some healthy guys. We're in Nashville. We've been in the bubble. We're ready to bubble now down in Miami.
I just had my Corona test, and I came back negative. I'm ready to play.
All right, well, you have a great one, okay?
Whoa. Are you not taking players?
Whoa.
We're not taking players. We got a nice squad back in Jupiter ready to go. But have a great day.
Oh, wait.
I'm going to throw him a piece of paper. Oh, listen.
Boom, I hit that. Whoa, ma'am. Wait. I can be a pinch runner. I'm fast as lightning.
She must have not thought you were fast as lightning, coacher.
Oh, y'all boring. Are
idiots.
Wait, which lady was nicer, her or the strip club lady?
Dude, I got to give both people props for actually staying on the freaking phone with us. I would hang up. I've had jobs where I'm a telemarketer the people called me. Yeah, and I mean, you have the opportunity if somebody's rude to you, does this, swears, we could always hang up on them if they did that. So you have so many outs, and these people were courteous enough. I like that. I really do. People that take their job seriously, much respect. Because I would hang up on people sometimes if they if I didn't think they were going to make any money for me. If it wasn't a sale.
Yeah, but coach, that job didn't last very long, right?
Coach, I was there for 9 months, set all kind of records, but then, yes, they audited a lot of my calls, and they said that I hung up on people, I wasn't courteous, I was rude, I didn't follow protocols, and I would tag their accounts with stuff without their permission. But
yeah, I think they have to keep it professional, because I talked to my wife about this. And she used to
work. Sweetie, if we call a strip club, how many questions by law do they have to answer? If you don't mind answering that for me.
No, well, she.
If I ask you a bunch of questions, how many questions do you think I can get through before you slap me in the face?
She used to work at the Toyota Center, which was home to the Houston Rockets. And when she was an intern, she had to fill in for someone at the front desk while they went to lunch. And they explained to her, now look, here's these like 15 numbers of people that call all the time that are, how do you say it?
Pieces
annoying.
No, I'm trying to, the PC term.
Waste of life.
No. Like they're,
They're
a pain in the
they're
ass.
They're effing annoying.
No. Oh, God, guys.
Want to kill them.
No, no, no. What is the term that is not
POSs?
I can't say the R word, but
oh,
mentally handicapped.
Yeah, they are
mentally handicapped.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. We'll go with that.
But they were they really though, or you're just
yeah? No, no. They like, I think they really well. They thought they were because they would call up and want to talk about like what the team was doing and where did the coach eat dinner last night and ask all these questions. They're like. And they're really nice, and so we will talk to them. But if we do have another call, you'll tell them, "Hey, sorry, you know, Jimmy, I gotta go. I got another call." And so I think this lady at the Marlins probably thought we were like that we were one of those for calls sure. that
for
you know
sure,
they get all
every
the time.
Place that you call, they think that you're mentally challenged. Yes, coach.
You
for
know,
sure, they're like, "Wow, I just got off the phone with someone that's how do you say?"
You think the girl that answered was a stripper?
Yeah.
What if they take the calls now and then they strip later?
That's a good question. I wonder if they rotate. Like you got Diamond on the side stage, you got Sapphire on the main stage, and you got Raspberry on the front desk.
The chick we're chatting with had a headset on and nothing else. Wow.
Picture that. You know what? I think I'm ready to go after that.
Oh, coach! I thought that.
Did I go to the bathroom,
dude.
What?
I thought that drive-through. We were talking about it like it was right around the corner. It's right around the corner in another state.
Well, I mean, I'm sure other states have them. It was the first in Texas. That's why it was a story. I don't know. Other strip clubs were doing it.
I couldn't even like keep my dude. You know how hard we'd be laughing.
Whoa! Right.
No.
Right.
No. But what I'm saying
on the
is
inside.
No. But I'm saying if you're in there with your boys in a drive-through, like you have to be busting up laughing. There's no way you can with a straight face.
Yeah,
just roll
and
in.
Hey, you're not supposed to have cameras in the strip club, but you're cameraing that. You're Instagram live on that.
Just not your boys. That's how stuff comes back and bites people.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great Wednesday, everybody. We're out of here. I don't have anything all else. Right. Eddie, you got anything?
No, man, I'm good.
Oh, my wife watched that Unsolved Mysteries of the alien ones that you were talking, you guys talked about. She goes, man, I don't know. That one got me believing.
Man, it's so good. You know, I've seen, I think when like National Geographic or some of these channels have UFO stories, it's always one person. Yeah, man, I saw it and it was crazy. Man, and it took me.
It's always a guy that lives out in the country.
Yeah, but this is different in the way that like everyone in that town kind of saw it. And there were a lot of witnesses and even young people, old people saying that, yeah, I saw him. He made his body real weird. It was a big light and then he disappeared. It's like, whoa, this is crazy.
Man, I don't know. I haven't seen the episode.
I've had friends that have said
there's a chance that they all
right. I hear you
communicate and said
that
all
it's
right.
a yes. consensus. That's why it is believable. But I always have had friends, and it's all every time. I guarantee it. I'll say it to my dying day. They've had something to drink, or they've
had some illegal substances,
and they've said that they've seen something. But I have had friends who've said
my brother said he saw one night, and yeah, he was drinking.
My friend's mom when we were younger. Her and her best friend went shopping, and they came home, and they were like, oh, my God, there was a UFO following us home. And I'm like, and they were like, we tried to lose him. I'm like, get out of here. Like, you guys went to the bar.
They tried to lose him.
They said we tried to lose
they
him.
They tried
so
to lose
we didn't, they said they didn't drive straight home is what they said. They said they took a different route because they didn't want it to follow him home. And I'm like, so you guys didn't go shopping. You've been at happy hour, and you're coming home, and this is your excuse why you're late.
But they were dead serious?
Okay. Dead serious. For years, like, they would say... I'm not joking, guys. Like, that thing tried to follow us home.
Let me ask you guys, have you all experienced anything just absolutely crazy where no one would believe you, but you were there and you swore that it happened?
Yes. But but people were with me. It was in the neighborhood. It was Forrest, myself. I think Aaron was there. My brother.
Garrett.
No. Batter's box.
Batter's box.
I don't know what happened. If we threw a tennis ball at this white van or whatever, and it was chasing us throughout the neighborhood, right? And then we are at one point in the neighborhood, and we see these two, and this is on like a Friday night when we're kids, and there was two girls dressed up in like schoolgirl outfits with like their books.
Tell me more.
Like Britney Spears?
yeah, I guess like a Catholic school girl, whatever. And they had books. And
were they singing Hit Me, Baby, One More Time?
No, this was before that came out. And at the same time, the white van comes around the corner. And I've never seen these girls before in my life, okay? And this is my neighborhood. At the exact same time, we all said, O.S., it's the white van. And we run. Never seen the girls again in my life.
What did the white van have anything to do with anything?
Yeah.
It was chasing us throughout the night. Like, we had thrown something at it, the white van or something. And when it turned the corner, we both said it. Our group and those two girls said it the same exact time. And I had never seen the girls in my life, and I never saw them again.
Wow. And this was at 2 in the morning?
I was, you know, probably midnight on a weekend.
Well, it's kind of creepy to see like girls in that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and they had school books. Like, I'm telling you, it sounds so, because I don't believe in this alien crap, but that was the weirdest thing that's probably ever happened to me.
Wow.
All right, Ray.
I was trying to rack my brain. There's definitely instances, but just not top of mind. Let me think on it, boys.
Yeah, we'll get us next podcast.
Yeah,
that's
I'll
cool.
bring you Jim back.
Okay, Eddie? I have one.
Okay.
There we go. So down in the valley.
It was down in the valley, and I was probably...
And the banditos got 16. Me, and they put me in a van, and they put a paper sack over my head and said, we're taking you to Mexico. And you were like, no, I'm not. And you kicked out the van doors, and you jumped out.
15, maybe 14 years old, right? And my dad had this deer lease. And it was me, my brother, a couple of my dad's friends, and my cousin. And we all stayed there. My dad would go stay at a hotel, but we stayed in this little house on the deer lease. We all went to bed, and about, I don't know what time it was because I didn't see a clock or anything, but I get woken up.
Did you not see the sun?
This house, no, Coach, it was in the middle of the night. It was still dark.
Then that means it was midnight.
Had one window. This house had one window, and it was up high. It wasn't like a window you could stand up and look out of. It was like kind of like a sun window.
Oh yeah. Oh, a skylight.
And I look up,
and you saw Jesus.
And I hear I hear mumbling.
It was banging
outside. And then I see lights coming in there, and I go, "Oh my gosh, there's someone outside." I look. I see my dad's two friends. I see my brother. I see my cousin and me. We're all in the house. And there's someone outside this house. Oh my gosh. So they were probably there for about 10 minutes and then gone. I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning and I go, "Guys, did you guys hear anything last night? Like people?" And my cousin goes, "Whoa, did you hear something? Because I didn't see anything. But I heard something hitting the house over and over and over." And I was like, "Whoa, I didn't hear that." And then my brother goes, "I saw a light come in. You know, I don't know what time it was, but I saw a light. I just figured it was one of you guys out there." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, something was outside that house." And we still to this day don't know what it was.
Wow.
That's weird.
Your energy was believable, but it sounds like just a neighbor person walking around. And probably
no, this is a deer lease.
Or it's probably a squirrel.
The woods. There's no one out there.
A squirrel climbed on the roof.
Main road.
It was a raccoon. It was banging against the trash can, Coach.
With a flashlight?
Yeah, they can hold a flashlight. They have opposable thumbs. Coach, it's a damn raccoon holding a flashlight.
Oh boy!
Hey guys, I saw it. It was actually a raccoon.
you know, Coach, hearing your story about the schoolgirls and the van and everything, I've always thought it'd be kind of fun because I like to walk the dog at night. I feel like it'd be fun someday, you know, to just kind of dress up like in a mask and a lantern and like walk the dog in the middle of the night.
You want to get shot?
You know how? Yeah, that. And you know how many kids?
Like, yeah,
you
I mean, like seriously,
for the rest
you
of
wanna
their
ask,
lives.
You want to ask your neighbors to be freaked out and pull a gun on you?
Dude, you will.
That's
get
how
shot.
You do it. Dress up in a mask with a lantern.
But I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking the dog.
Tell them that when you got a bullet hole.
Yeah, dude, you're going to have corona and buckshot.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not making it through 2020.
And then you're like, "I wasn't doing anything. I was just doing this to scare people." Well, you scared them. Congratulations. You win.
No, I wasn't scaring anyone. You can just say I was wearing a mask to be safe. You know, I don't want to spread corona.
Oh, so you're wearing the Jason mask to save corona.
You know what? And then for the rest of people's lives, if they saw me walking the street, they could tell the story of like, man, one time I woke up in the middle of the night, looked out my window, and there was a guy walking down the street with a lantern.
Dang. And then that's history true. Repeat itself and continue on.
I'm just saying, I feel like that's why we have stories, because of people probably said it'd be funny if we had your two sisters, man. We can dress them up in their schoolgirl outfits. They can have books at like midnight, and they'll scare the crap out of some kids.
Oh, I mean, try and get back to me. Like, what? I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it, Eddie, but do it.
No, I'm just joking. I would never do that.
Okay.
I don't know. You're right. I get shot.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later. Anybody else got anything?
All right. We're done?
Yeah.
Ray?
I just looked up this haunted house my mom used to work at.
Dang. Your mom worked in a haunted house?
It was a bed and breakfast, and so it was haunted. And honestly, the rocking chair would rock upstairs by itself, and I saw it happen with my own eyes, but it can be explained. It was an older house, and it must have
wind.
No,
a draft
inside, and there must have been the way it was built, the foundation, something to where it would rock perfectly. If it maybe was a little bit windier outside, but yes, the rocking chair would start to rock, and as kids, it would creep us out.
Okay.
And around school,
what was the story that this old lady used to rock her baby in that rocking chair, and he died at midnight or something? What's the story?
And it was a house, they said that people were died in. So there was a woman that would look out the window. People had died in this bed and breakfast, apparently. And so then their ghosts would go throughout the house. One would sit on the rocker, and you could actually see the rocking chair move. And she would look out the window. And I never saw her looking out the window, but yes, I did see the rocking chair move. And if you guys want to look it up online, it's called Hood House Bed and Breakfast, and it's in Saratoga, Wyoming. And you can see this place. You can see the window up there, and man. And maybe some of the reviews say it's haunted. I'm actually clicking on them right now. 4.8 out of 5, not bad for a haunted house.
That's not bad.
It's a grand old home in a little southern Wyoming town. Carol, the owner, is interesting and pleasant. I wonder if there was a review on my mom. That'd be crazy. No.
Hey, now there's a river here, like probably about 20, 30 minutes outside of town.
Yeah, the Mississippi.
The Cumberland.
No.
It's a haunted river?
Literally outside your door. So they do haunted canoe tours.
They do. I've actually I've seen that, Coach.
Hell yeah, let's do that.
Bring the kids.
Haunted canoe rides? I mean,
Coach, I don't canoe, much less go on a haunted canoe ride.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, that sounds like a way not to make it back. What happened to Ray? How did he pass? So he went on this nighttime canoe ride where there's rapids in the S, and it's crazy out, and wasn't a great canoer.
No rapids.
And a goblin jumped out of the water, and Ray flipped his canoe, and we never saw him again.
No, and they're like, so was it haunted?
Goblin.
No, it wasn't haunted. It was just nighttime, and Ray wasn't a good canoer, and the rapid took him, and he drowned.
God, Ray didn't have a life jacket on. Oh, we lost Ray.
Oh, my gosh. Was it haunted? No. It was just the middle of the night. Coach, I have seen articles about that, though, where you can do it. I don't even know if it's just during Halloween or if it's year-round.
I think it's year-round, Coach.
Dang.
But there's that. And then in Austin, which what they used to do was really cool, is you could watch Alamo Drafthouse would play Jaws in the middle of the lake. So you would go sit out there in tubes or noodles and sit in the middle of the lake at night and watch Jaws.
Oh, that's a little freaky. That's a little freaky.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, though. I kind of like it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Cool. Oh, man. All right. That's about all I got. Hey, what was the most shocking thing today, Eddie? What did you learn?
Shocking? Oh, I mean, for sure, Ray had to comb his dad's hair.
Come on.
And it took, for his head of hair, it took at least 20 minutes each time because it was a process.
20 minutes.
Come on.
Coach, you're messed up, dude. I'm sorry, Coach. I'm sorry to go through all that.
We shouldn't make fun of you. All right. Bye, everybody.
We shouldn't. That's why you have to drink 2 days out of the week.
All right. One.
All right, we're done?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, I'm buzzing.